I say this occasionally, and I'm just going to say it again. I want to thank you as a church body for letting me do this Sunday after Sunday. I want you to know and continue to say that I don't take this lightly, never have, never will. Every time I get up and get to proclaim the Word of God like this, it is new and special and wonderful. And so, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Let's pray together. God, we ask this morning that you will speak to us from your Word, that you will not only give us ears to hear, but that you will give us voices to speak. We ask that your word this morning might guide our hearts and minds, that you may guide our souls and the words that come from our mouths. We pray ultimately that you will receive all the honor and glory of this morning, of our worship, the singing that we proclaim to you as we gather around your table, as we read your word, even as we embrace one another. We pray that you will be with us and that you will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is someone else's story. At Concourse A in the Atlanta airport, there's a big food court. Maybe on some other concourses too, a big food court. All the fast foods are around there, and you can go ahead and grab something and catch a plane. I had room in my calendar for a little breakfast. I'd rushed down there to beat the traffic and had to wait, so I went there to find one that had something that was sort of breakfast-like. I finally found one, and it looked like breakfast, and I got a little something and a cup of coffee. I sat at a table in front of the place, and suddenly I heard singing, this marvelous male voice, deep and resonant, and obviously well-trained, singing. I noticed the song because it was Laura's theme from Dr. Zhivago, which was played on a harp when our daughter Laura was married. And so I just liked that song. And it was so well done. And then there was silence. I was about to finish my breakfast, and then that same voice again, "Come, thou fount of every blessing." Beautiful. I went to the counter and said to the girl there, "Is that singing coming from over there?" She said, "That's Albert in the kitchen." I said, "Can I speak to Albert?" She said, "Well, yeah. Albert! Man out here wants to talk to you." And out he came, this big, robust, smiling guy who said, "Yes, sir." I introduced myself. He introduced himself. "Albert," I said, "I want to thank you for singing. It's marvelous." He said, "You know what I'm doing, don't you?" I said, "No. What are you doing?" He said, "I'm auditioning." "You're auditioning?" He said, "Yeah. As many folks go through here all the time, there's bound to be one that's going to come along and going to take me out of this kitchen." And then he went back, humming, into the kitchen, and I just thought, there's not 5% of the population of Atlanta as happy as that guy in the kitchen. So far this morning, we've heard pieces of Psalm 36. Only part of Psalm 36 is being read around the world today on these Sundays after Epiphany. But here's all of it. It too, someone else's story. But there's this wonderful line that we've already read, and I hope that somehow, some way, it gets stuck in your head today. You know how songs do that? Sometimes they get stuck in your head. I hope this line from this song gets stuck in your head today. Everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in their hearts. There is no fear of God before their eyes. For they flatter themselves in their own eyes that their iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of their mouths are mischief and deceit. They have ceased to act wisely and do good. They plot mischief while on their beds. They are set on a way that is not good. They do not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. Everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant tread on me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie prostrate. They are thrust down, unable to rise. Sometimes it's best to look at the whole picture. Look at the good, look at the bad. Look at everything together, all in one sitting. Because I think that it is there when you take a look at the whole picture that sometimes you get the point. And for whatever reason, and I think I know what it is, when the people who said, well, let's read Psalm 36 on this Sunday, particularly this one today, January 17th, but why don't we just read 5 through 10? Because that's the good part. That's the part about steadfast love, shadow of your wings, all that. Let's leave out the stuff about evildoers and lying prostrate on their beds doing evil. I get why. It's just not that nice, and it falls kind of nasty on our ears. You know, I like the part about steadfast love, shadow of your wings. That's nice. All this stuff about the feet of the arrogant and all that, it's not pleasant on such a beautiful Sunday morning. I mean, after all, we got up this morning, got dressed, put on pretty clothes, combed our hair, came to church on a beautiful Sunday morning. You want to hear beautiful things. But when you look at Psalm 36, the whole of it, what you see are contrasts, and they're there for a reason. For example, take the two they's. Did you notice the they's in Psalm 36? There's one kind of they and there's another kind of they. And you have to be paying attention to the story to distinguish which they is getting the attention at the moment. Because you have the bad guys they and you have the good guys they. The bad they, when you look at Psalm 36 from the beginning, pretty easy to spot. The good they are pretty easy to spot as well on a Sunday morning when it's beautiful. And we're all dressed up, hair nice and combed in a comfortable room, talking about God and Jesus and all the things we like to talk about on a Sunday morning. Sometimes, though, it's harder to see the good day from the bad day. We get involved in daily living. Some days it's hard to tell the good day from the bad day when I look in the mirror. Some days you wonder, well, who am I in this story? Where do I fit into this song? What happens if this song becomes our song? What happens if this story actually becomes our story? Well, the bad they, if we read Psalm 36 on its own merit, the bad they got to be a bad they, it seems at least, because of action and lack of action. They stopped acting wisely. They stopped doing good. They got out of the habit of cultivating wisdom. They got out of the habit of good deeds. You ever been there? You ever been there in your life where you just kind of get out of the habit of coming and doing what we're doing right now, talking about wisdom, talking about doing good things? It's not that our Christian lives are measured by how wise we are and doing good things, and that's it. After all, we do believe that we are saved by grace. Thanks be to God. Can I get a witness? But there is also something to be said for doing good and acting wisely. That even the action of cultivating wisdom, the act of doing good, cultivates things that reflect the glory of God. The truth of living in God is that, you know, if we're known by our fruits, known by the things that come as a result of walking with God, we do good and we act wisely. And on the days when we get out of the habit and those kinds of things are not as easily noticeable, we come back and we say, oh yeah, now I remember. Do good, act wisely. The idea that early Christianity kind of adapted from this, and I think that the two are pretty connected, is that moment in the New Testament where it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord and give thanks. That sort of thing. When we go out of here, we live our daily lives. Things kind of happen. I get that. But then we come back. Whatever you do in word, the things you say, do it in the name of the Lord. Your deeds, the whole do good, act wisely, do it in the name of Jesus. And when you lay down at the end of the day and survey the day's events, say, oh, yeah, there's a moment. Acted wisely. Did good. Do good, act wisely. That's the mark of a follower of God. But then, there's a promise that gets wrapped up with it. Everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That mixed with all of this talk of what we do, things we say, what we cultivate, there's this beautiful image. And it is, it's just beautiful. You ever seen something taking refuge in the shadow of wings? Like a mama hen doing this and the baby's getting out of the rain? You ever seen that? It's just this beautiful image. And it's so simple. You know, maybe you saw it growing up on a farm. Maybe you saw it at a zoo. Maybe you saw a photograph of it during a Sunday morning sermon. But there's this beautiful image of taking refuge in the shadow of God's wings. So, we proclaim God's steadfast love. As we go along the way, we proclaim God's steadfast love. But, also along the way, I don't think we should leave out this image of praying to be free from the foot of the arrogant and the hand of the wicked. Now we say those kinds of things with fear and trembling, especially because we have to at least acknowledge that some days, on our bad days, the foot of the wicked or the foot of the arrogant is my foot. But you still come back and say, okay, if I'm taking refuge in the shadow of the wings of God, I'm going to proclaim God's steadfast love, and I'm going to pray to be set free from the foot of the arrogant and the hand of the wicked. That's the balance of life, it seems. I mean, it's what daily Christian living looks like. It's this daily balance between proclaiming God's steadfast love and being far away from those things that we might deem as wicked. And then we come in here and we hear a song like Psalm 36. Not just part of it, whole thing. Good day, the bad day, everything in between. We hear the whole thing, and then, maybe, you decide to make it your song. You replay memories from years ago, and you try to figure out, why'd that song get stuck in my head? Why'd that song go down as a part of the soundtrack of my life? I don't know. Isn't it funny, though, how some songs stay with you? You just keep them going. No matter where you are, what you do, you can play a whole song. I don't have on my bike the speakers and the big dashboard. You've seen those like that. And guys say, why don't you have that? You love music. And I say, because when I'm going down the road, I can play an entire album, start to finish, in my head. And sometimes that's even more fun. I can play Pink Floyd's Animals, start to finish, all the way through in my head. And I've done it before, a number of times. And it's wonderful. I can hear every note, every lyric, everything. Just going through my head. And it's beautiful. And what I hope is that by the power of the Word of God, that somehow today, what might get stuck in your mind, in your heart, buried in your soul, is this line, everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. The opening and closing of Psalm 36 portrays what life looks like. Real life. Yeah, we proclaim the steadfast love of the Lord. This never-ceasing love. You know that song? We proclaim that. But we also proclaim it in the midst of arrogance and wickedness, whatever form that may take. That's what life looks like. You know, sometimes people can be just mean. Sometimes people can be inconsiderate. You ever around that? High schoolers, I know y'all are. You're around it all the time. The good news and the bad news, that ain't going anywhere. It continues. Sometimes people are mean. Sometimes people are inconsiderate. And it's in that setting that we proclaim the steadfast love of the Lord as never ceasing. So do good, act wisely. And in the middle section of Psalm 36, it keeps singing about the steadfast love of the Lord. And then it says, everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. When I was a senior in high school, I was driving home from work one night. I worked at a bakery. Forum 303 Mall, right on the border of Arlington and Grand Prairie. And we'd close at 9 o'clock, but you'd have to clean up. And so it was usually around 10 that I went down into the parking garage at Forum 303 Mall, got in my underwhelming 1984 Pontiac Sunbird. You've heard me talk about that car. Got in and drove home. And there was one of two paths home back to the little duplex in Grand Prairie across from my high school. You could go home on 303 or you could go home on Arkansas. 303 was kind of the Westheimer of Grand Prairie. Main drag, lots of stuff, multiple lanes. Arkansas lane behind Forum 303 Mall that went all the way to my neighborhood was more of a back road. In fact, even though there were a few buildings around the mall, a long stretch of it was kind of out in the country. Nothing to it, just trees, two-lane road. Not much to it. And I remember on that night at 10 o'clock, turning on my stereo, because I always did that. I had a Pioneer stereo with Alpine speakers. Oh, it was wonderful. Such a great stereo. It had, the cassette deck had auto reverse on it. You remember that? Oh, man, it was awesome. Put that thing in, it's playing. I was playing the soundtrack to The Lost Boys, old movie. I can't believe we're calling that an old movie now. Anyway, old movie. And as I was driving down Arkansas Lane, Echo and the Bunnymen sang a cover of The Doors' People Are Strange. I think the reason I remember that it was Echo and the Bunnymen doing a cover of The Doors' People Are Strange is that I heard and felt a pothole. Didn't see it, heard and felt it. Front tire, driver's side. Back tire, driver's side. So I realize I'm driving home, I'm out in the country, and the car feels like this, like a sideways. It's not a car in sight. So I pull over a little bit, get out and look. Front tire, rear tire, both of them are blown out. I mean, just completely blown out. Well, in 1989, 1990, we didn't carry cell phones. There's not anybody out there. So what did I do? 17, I don't know any better. I drive the rest of the way home. It was only a mile. It wasn't that bad, but I did smell sparks. But I drive home, get home. I didn't know what else to do. And everything was fine. The rims weren't bent, got new tires, all that business. But for whatever reason now, every time I hear People Are Strange, that memory comes up. Every single time I hear that song, that memory is attached to it. And it's so powerful. I mean, I can still feel the feeling that I had at 17. And it's funny how sometimes a song gets that way. It gets stuck with you. And you remember it. You remember what it felt like. Every time I hear a certain song by a band called Alice in Chains, I think of my friend Wade, who died in a plane crash now 15, 16 years ago. Why? We had a conversation one night, that song was playing. Why do things like that get stuck in your head? I don't know. I mean, for the last week and a half, I've played a lot of Bob Dylan. Because of how much Bill Hancock loves Bob Dylan. Just been playing it a lot lately. And for whatever reason, over the last week and a half, when I play Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, think of Bill. And I think it's going to probably be that way for a long time. The way that music gets attached to a moment. And I'm not saying that this worship service is going to be for every single person in this room that powerful. But it might be. It might be that for weeks to come, you see the image and you can hear the word of the Lord saying, everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And each one of us individually listening to the word of God this morning is all going through something. Every one of us in this room today is going through something. It may be exciting. It may be worrisome. It may be just good old-fashioned stress. But everybody in here this morning is going through something. And this song, no matter what you get attached to, maybe it'll get stuck. Everyone may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And then there was a man working in the Atlanta airport who one day, for whatever reason, decided to start singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And it stuck in one person's head, in one person's soul, and it became his story. Someone else's story becomes our story. Kind of like right now. Amen.